Verse
178. والكتاب والنبيين وآتى المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة والموفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون.
It is not righteousness that you turn your faces to the east or the west, but truly righteous is he who believes in Allah and the last day, and the angels, and the book, and the prophets, and spends his money out of love for him, on the kindred, and the orphans, and the needy, and the wayfarer, and those who ask for charity, and for ransoming the captives, and observes prayer and pays the zakat, and those who fulfill their promise when they have made one, and the patient in poverty and afflictions, and the steadfast in time of war. It is these who have proved truthful, and it is these who are truly God-fearing. Footnote 202a. Al-Ba'sa and Al-Ba'as are both derived from Ba'usa and Ba'isa, i.e., he was or became strong and valiant in war or fight. He was or became in a state of great want or poverty or distress. Al-Ba'sa means might or strength in war or fight. War or fight, fear, harm, etc. Ad-Darra is especially that evil or affliction which relates to one's person as disease, etc. And al-ba'sa is that which relates to property as poverty, etc. Lane. Footnote 203. The verse gives a gist of Islamic teaching. It begins with the basic Islamic beliefs and doctrines which are the source and basis of all actions, and on the rightness of which depends the rightness of human actions, belief in God, in the last day, in angels, revealed books, and divine prophets. After this, some of the more important ordinances relating to man's actions are mentioned. Verse 179.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم القصاص في القتلى الحر بالحر والعبد بالعبد والأنثى بالأنثى فمن عفي له من أخيه شيء فاتباع بالمعروف وأداء إليه بإحسان ذلك تخفيف من ربكم ورحمة فمن اعتدى بعد ذلك فله عذاب أليم.
O ye who believe, equitable retaliation in the matter of the slain is prescribed for you. The free man for the free man, and the slave for the slave, and the female for the female. But for him who is granted any remission by his injured brother, pursuing the matter for the realization of the blood money, shall be done with fairness, and the murderer shall pay him the blood money in a handsome manner. This is an alleviation from your Lord and a mercy. And whoso transgresses thereafter, for him there shall be a grievous punishment. Footnote 204. The verse comprises a very important principle of civil law, i.e., equality of man and necessity of awarding proportionate punishment to all offenders without distinction, unless an offender is forgiven by the relatives of his victim under circumstances that are calculated to lead to improvement and betterment of conditions. The words "is prescribed for you" show that retaliation for the slain is obligatory. Failure to inflict the punishment prescribed by law on the offender is tantamount to violation of the divine commandment. The duty, however, of punishing the culprit devolves not on the heirs of the murdered person, but, as the plural alaikum, for you, shows, on the authorities responsible for the maintenance of law and order. The former, however, have been given the option to forgive. So whereas on the one hand the concerned authorities are bound to punish the offender according to the requirements of law, having no right to pardon him of their own accord, on the other, the heirs of the murdered person are not entitled to take the law into their own hands and inflict the punishment on the guilty person themselves. In awarding the punishment, the verse makes no distinction between offenders. The words used are of a general nature and apply to all offenders who might be guilty of murder, no matter of what rank or station in life, or of what religion. Any person, irrespective of his caste or creed and of his station, must be put to death for the murder of any person, unless pardoned by the relatives of the victim, and unless also the pardon has the sanction of the competent authorities. The sayings of the Holy Prophet are explicit on this point. Majah, chapter on Deat. The companions of the Holy Prophet are all agreed that a Muslim may be put to death for murdering a non-belligerent disbeliever. Tabari, volume 5, page 44. The Holy Prophet himself ordered a Muslim murderer to be put to death for the murder of a non-belligerent non-Muslim. Qutni. The words, "the freeman for the freeman, and the slave for the slave, and the female for the female," do not mean that a freeman should be punished with death for the murder of a slave, or that a woman should not be put to death for killing a member of the opposite sex, etc. The social position of a person, or the sex of a party also, cannot be considered a bar to the application of this law. The peculiar construction, i.e., the freeman for the freeman, has been adopted to refer to and abolish a certain custom of the Arabs, whereby they used to take into consideration the sex and the social status of the murderer and the murdered person when determining punishment. The commandment contained in this verse seeks to abolish that obnoxious custom. In fact, the law of retaliation, as stated in this verse, is confined to the clause, "equitable retaliation in the matter of the slain is prescribed for you," which forms a complete sentence in itself, giving a full and complete meaning. The ensuing expression, "the freeman for the freeman, and the slave for the slave, and the female for the female," is something extra, not forming part of the law. It only contains a repudiation of the Arab custom referred to above, and illustrates, by giving three instances, how the law is to be administered. Such an expression is known as jumla istinafia in Arabic grammar, and is technically introduced with a view to answering a question which is suggested by the preceding clause to which it is added, without any intervening conjunction. The question answered in such an expression is often understood and not expressed. Mukhtasar. The Holy Prophet is reported to have said, whoever kills his slave shall be put to death. Majah. At another place he says, the blood of all Muslims is alike in respect of the law of retaliation. Nasa'i.
Verse 180.
وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ
And there is life for you in the law of retaliation, O men of understanding, that you may enjoy security. Footnote 204a. The Islamic law of retaliation provides a very effective means to put a stop to murder and safeguard human life. A man who shows a callous disregard for human life loses all title to live as a member of human society. Pardon or remission is permissible only where the circumstances are such that it is likely to improve matters and bring about good results for all parties concerned. Chapter 42, verse 41. Thus, while on the one hand, Islam has made due provision for the suppression of crime, it has, on the other, kept open the door for the display of the noble qualities of benevolence and mercy. The fact that despite efforts to the contrary, the death penalty is still found on the statute books of most countries in one form or another constitutes a sufficient proof of the wisdom of the Islamic ordinance. Even the most enthusiastic protagonists of the abolition of capital punishment have not yet been able to suggest a suitable alternative to it. They have had to admit that a long term of imprisonment as an alternative is horrible and is not an ideal substitute. Capital Punishment in the 20th Century by E. Roy Calvert, G.P. Putnam, London, 1930.
Verse 181.
كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ إِنْ تَرَكَ خَيْرًا الْوَصِيَّةُ لِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُتَّقِينَ
It is prescribed for you. When death comes to any one of you, if he leave much wealth, that he make a will to parents and near relatives to act with fairness. This is an obligation on those who fear God. Footnote 205. Verses 12 and 13 of chapter 4 fix the shares of all those persons who should succeed to a deceased person's property. These verses have been mistakenly understood by some commentators to abrogate the verse under comment, which in fact lays down an additional and very necessary provision, and refers only to bequests made in favour of individuals not legally entitled to a share in the testator's property, or for charitable purposes, or for war conditions. It does not refer to bequests made in favour of legal heirs, which subject has been dealt with in chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. There is no question, therefore, of the abrogation of this verse by those verses which lay down the rules of inheritance, and also recognise the validity of any bequests that may have been made. Each operates in its own sphere and draws strength from the other. The bequests thus made, however, should not exceed one third of the property left, as is mentioned in a saying of the Holy Prophet related by Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, Bukhari Kitab al-Janayz, this being the utmost limit to which the testator can exercise his discretion, and that only in case he leaves abundant wealth as the word khair, much wealth, shows. Chapter 5, verse 107, according to which a dying Muslim could make a bequest, and which was, by common consent, revealed after verses 12 and 13 of chapter 4, further supports the view that the verse under comment is not abrogated by verses 12 and 13 of chapter 4. In fact, the whole theory of abrogation has no foundation.
Verse 182.
فَمَن بَدَّلَهُ بَعْدَ مَا سَمِعَهُ فَإِنَّمَا إِثْمُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يُبَدِّلُونَهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ.
And he who alters it after he has heard it, the sin thereof shall surely lie on those who alter it. Surely Allah is all-hearing and all-knowing. Footnote 205a. This indicates that the previous verse contemplates some directions which are obligatory, and a contravention of which would be sinful. Obviously, what is meant is a direction that the estate shall be administered in accordance with the law of inheritance. If the testator gives such a direction, then the sin of any contravention would lie on those who are guilty of the contravention.
Verse 183.
فَمَنْ خَافَ مِنْ مُوصٍ جَنَفًا أَوْ إِثْمًا فَأَصْلَحَ بَيْنَهُمْ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ.
But whoso apprehends from a testator a partiality or a wrong, and makes peace between them, the parties affected, it shall be no sin for him. Surely Allah is most forgiving and merciful. Footnote 205b. A will may comply with legal requirements and may yet be unfair in some of its provisions. For instance, if a person leaves a large number of heirs, it may entail a hardship on them if he wills away as much as the full one-third for charitable or other lawful purposes. It would, in such a case, be permissible, indeed meritorious, to bring about a fair adjustment between the heirs and the legatees affected.